This is a spiritual reading being given for Julie Wallace on Saturday, the 19th of December, 2020, in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. We perceive the individual. We stand within the Hall of Records, and we are granted to hold within our hands the Book of the Soul. And the Book of the Soul, Julie, is a metaphor for the record of your incarnations from the very beginnings of time when you first entered the physical plane until the current incarnation. And it contains a record, life by life, of what the soul has experienced on its journey. Now, the book has certain characteristics which are significant. The first is the cover, and you have to imagine a large book. It's got a very beautiful tooled cover. I don't know the exact technical word for it, but it's very beautiful, and it has a colour. And the colour indicates a certain quality of the soul which will be manifested from incarnation to incarnation. And the colour as we see it is light rose. And that's the colour of the artist, the colour of the sensitive, the clairvoyant, the oracle. But above all, it indicates that your soul's task from life to life is to bring beauty into this world. And that may, of course, be accomplished in many different ways. Then upon the cover is engraved a title and a symbol. And the title is, and I will translate it from the script that it's written in, the title is The Spear Thrower. The Spear Thrower. And what that means, Julie, is that from life to life, your soul will want to achieve goals. It will look forward rather than backwards. It will try with all its might to achieve those goals and tasks set before it, which it has indeed done in this incarnation. And the spear thrower is in the front line of battle and never retreats. And so it indicates courage, daring, and the willingness to sacrifice oneself for the greater good or for other souls. And these are characteristics that also will be manifest from incarnation to incarnation. And then the third attribute of the Book of the Soul is a symbol. The symbol and the title are, as it were, engraved in gold leaf upon the cover. And the symbol shows you in the prow of an old sailing boat. It's sort of, I would call it the a sailing boat in the time of the Greeks, say about 1,000 to 2 years BC to about 600 BC, 500 BC, that sort of era. And you stand in the prow, and you're ready with a spear, and your mission or your purpose there is to safeguard the crew of the ship or the passengers in the ship, every other person, every other soul that the ship contains, and make sure that they reach their destination. And this is a quality where you care, you shepherd, you defend others, that will also be manifest in different ways from incarnation to incarnation. So these are the qualities, if you like, of the soul. Courage, daring, adventure, if you like, care, nurture, protection, and what I would call art. And the art may not seem to go quite with the other qualities, but we shall see how they will integrate as we progress through the reading. We open the Book of the Soul, and it opens to the page of this incarnation. And the soul's journey is depicted on both pages. On the right page, the soul has painted a picture of itself, and that is to say, it's depicted the aura, which is the soul's way of painting the life. And the aura colours depict the paints that the soul has chosen to use in this incarnation. And the paints that the soul has chosen will determine the personality, the qualities expressed within incarnation, and of course the karma that the soul is choosing to balance in this life. And I'll describe the colours quickly now, and we'll investigate some of them in more detail. The first colour, light red, colour of warmth, daring, energy, adventure. So it indicates that in this incarnation the soul wants to express those qualities. It's also, by the way, light red is also a very artistic colour. Because it expresses warmth and connection with the world. So it indicates the artist who doesn't create in an ivory tower, but connects with society through their art. And some of your incarnations, you would have to say that your life has been your art, but other incarnations, you've expressed yourself strongly as a artistic figure. The second colour is light yellow with a brownish tinge. And that is a colour that you've had to develop in this incarnation. Whereas you're in a nature, by nature you're very daring and adventurous, and you want to see life as an adventure. The second colour is about responsibility and taking responsibility and doing the right thing by others, parents, friends, society around you, and that is has been like a container for the soul in this incarnation. Then outside that is a third colour, which is a dark, or it's a blue with purples in it. And the blue indicates the spiritual aspirations of the soul and its connection with the spiritual worlds. And the purples, of course, indicate the priesthood that works within you. From the shoulders, light rose, usually the colour that we see in the cover of the Book of the Soul, is expressed somewhere in the aura. And in your case, that light rose is what is the wings, so to speak, the colours that will become wings one day when we become angels, at least one incarnation of the earth hence, I would imagine. But it indicates what lifts you up, and again it's the sensitive, intuitive and strongly artistic nature that rescues you in life and inspires you and lifts you above the daily problems and pains that you feel at times within life. Within the aura, deeper reds around the heart and also around the gonads area. Around the feet, browns. And yellow browns around the hands. Within the head, yellow brown. And the vortex, which descends from the spiritual worlds, is orange. The yellow brown indicates the thinking and indicates that your thinking works better when it is focused on practical matters, organization, self-discipline, working with within frameworks of society or business or career. You make you a frameworks person. And it's interesting that your colours together create a rare combination that means that you can be frustrated in life because you have certain capacities and gifts, but no one, but it's difficult to communicate these to other people and say, look, I have these gifts, would you mind recognizing them, because other people won't recognize them. And if you persist in trying to say to other people, let me do things, or allow me to take this work or this task or this organization on board, then other people say, no thanks very much, we want to do it on our own. So your best life strategy is not to rush out and try and be an entrepreneur or be a mover and shaker, but to wait to be invited. Now, if you can take the wait to be invited on, you can wait for life to give you the opportunities, and opportunities come rarely, but when they do come, they are major opportunities. If you wait, then you'll find that your purpose or your energies are being used in precisely the way that you would like them to be. And if you don't adopt the strategy, then there is a tendency to become bitter in your life about relationships with other people. So just wait. Your value will be appreciated and recognized. And you will have experienced this, I'm sure, in your career. You've been going through a tremendous transition in your career, your work, your vocational thinking in the last 2 to 3 years. And there are energies coming into the aura at present that indicate that you are coming to an end of what's been your vocation in a long time. You've as it were, reached a peak. You've been recognized for what you do. Perhaps you've been offered positions where people have recognized your gifts, your talents, and your value to an organization or to a community. And you've done very well at this. But now, and you can feel this, that's why you've asked the question, that it's time to make the change. And indeed, the priesthood can change markedly, enormously, across a lifetime. In fact, you would find that your priesthood would be expressed in three main eras of your life. From birth to about the age of 30, when the soul is developing, you express your priesthood in what I would call an unconscious way. You're not conscious of it really at that stage. But nevertheless, there's an attraction to spirituality. There's an attraction to the idea of life as perhaps service or being a counselor, being mediator to people. Then the second phase comes in the age of 30 to 49, which is when we fulfill our karma. And by this I mean that before you come into incarnation, you create in cooperation with the Lord of Karma, who is at present the Christ, you create your sacred contract, so to speak, and you say, yes, I will redress this imbalance, I'll redress that imbalance, I'll redress imbalances with people, and I will repay the debts that I've owed, and I'll assist others to repay their karmic debts. Now, the age of 30 to 49, give or take a few years either side, this is what life focuses on. And by the time you get to the age of 49, 50, you have completed your karmic contract. You've fulfilled your debts that you incarnated to repay to others. So for most people, there is then a transition period between 49 and 56. And during this time, you would find that your life is subtly changing, so that instead of your life being so much about other people, which I think it probably has been, your vision is now changing to what it's going to be in the future. And then about the age of 56, there is a 2 or 3 year transition period to about, in your case, the age of 59, which is what astrologers call your second Saturn return. Now, with many people, this passes almost undetected. That you come to a certain peak in your career, about the age of 59, and then gently, because you've fulfilled what you came in to do with your work, your career vocation, because you've completed that, then the way is open for you to take on another task. And one could say that this is the time, and it's been happening gradually, you've been in transition, but this is the time, about 59, when you will change your vocation. And you will recall that I indicated that the colour of the Book of the Soul is the life, is the colour of the artist. And so absolutely I would see that you would change to being, your life would change to being a much greater expression of your artistic, intuitive gifts. We're still with the aura. The cosmic colours above the head, light blues. Below the feet, light greens. The cosmic colours are not part of the aura, but represent gifts, if you like, that come towards you from the spiritual worlds. And if you are able to accept these gifts or be aware of what's being given to you, then they will become integrated into the aura in years to come. The symbol of the over-self hovers about 4 inches above the head. The symbol of the over-self represents the purpose that the Christ self, the inner divinity, the I am, has in mind for you at present. And we cannot see the real self of another person with spiritual vision, because that is the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum. And it is totally holy to that individual. But the real self very helpfully projects a symbol into the aura. And the symbol, as we see it, is a conical hat, like a wizard's hat. And it's got stars and comets and planets on it. And it indicates a certain process that your soul is experiencing at the present point in time. And the symbol changes as we ourselves grow and evolve. Now that's the right-hand side, and there are other symbols in the aura which we shall come to in a minute. But on the left-hand side is a little verse, and sometimes that's made available to us, and it indicates the journey of the soul in this incarnation, and I will try and read it to you. The verse has a title, and the title is "To the End." To the End. And then it's a little, it's got four lines. The first line, "I shall stay my course," or "I shall run my course." I shall run my course. Or you could translate that as race. I shall run my course, or run my race. First line, "I shall run my race." Second line, "Through deepest forests, comma, through dark of night," full stop. "Through deepest forests, comma, through dark of night," full stop. Third line, "I shall be faithful to the end." "I shall be faithful to the end." "I shall be faithful to the end." Last line, "I shall conquer through my power and might." "I shall conquer through my power and might." And in those four lines in the title, it summarizes for you what purpose the soul has had in mind in this incarnation. Let us return to the colour picture that the soul places before us. The picture of the aura colours. And as I've said, the first colour is light red. It echoes, if you like, the title, the soul title, which is the spear thrower. And it means that you will always strive to move forward. Life may try and knock you down, but you'll always get up, and you'll always try to achieve the goals that you've set. And it may not be that you get always to choose those goals. Sometimes those goals are put in front of you, and you have to say, "Yes, I'm going to do that." And there are aspects of life, perhaps, that are difficult for a light red person, and that's in the areas of relationships. Perhaps you've had disappointment in that. You've got the deeper reds around the heart, which indicates that relationships have promised but not delivered at times. It's interesting, though, that in the next 2 years, and particularly at the end of this year, but from about now, being very strongly at the beginning of next year and probably lasting about 2 years, there is what I would call a transformational energy entering into your relationships. And it will be a time when you look back in order to look forward. And I can see that one of the sorrows of this incarnation is that despite your love levels and your ability to love others, that you haven't been permitted to have children in this incarnation. And so, as I think you've said, you've been a mother in other ways. And there is a reason for this. Apart from the fact that the soul chose that, of course, there are karmic reasons. And there are two lives that stand in front of me. First is quite recent, where you had an incarnation in the south of France and you were a nun in that incarnation. You had two miscarriages. Two abortions in that life. Because you got pregnant from having sex. And it's a long story. Sex with the monks from the local
monastery.
And you got pregnant twice. On each occasion, you were able to have an abortion. And although it was a sort of an open secret, the other nuns chose not to acknowledge that you had had these abortions, because otherwise you would have been thrown out of the convent. But you had these souls who wanted to come into birth, and you stopped them coming into incarnation. So that's the first thing. So that in this incarnation, you haven't been able to have children, partly because you refused these souls' entry in the life in 19th century France. Now, there's a second reason, and that is that in, I think, the 16th century, as I see it, you're living in England, in Manchester, and you're a woman in that incarnation also. You're married to someone who's a tradesperson, and I'm not quite sure what they do. It's something to do with buying and selling wheat or flour, and your husband makes enough money to make a good living. You're well respected, and then the bubonic plague strikes, and it strikes your husband, and it also strikes the two little children that you have. You yourself catch the plague, but you're one of those who recover from it, although you bear scars for the rest of your life. But your two little children, they die. And so that there is this incredible sadness within you about losing those children. Now, those are the souls that wanted to come back in 19th century France, but you turned them down. So the way karma works out is that those souls in this incarnation, or the incarnation of the 20th century, they are your parents, your father and your mother. And you would they would look after you, of course, for the early years of your life. They bring you into incarnation. But now, you probably find that you have, and perhaps for the last 2 or 3 years, that your task, there's been a huge task involved of looking after these two souls. So that whereas the care that you couldn't give or wouldn't give to these souls in previous incarnations, you will now give and express in this life. And when you think about it, the passage from this life to the next is also a birth. It's a birthing process. So you will assist these souls. You will give birth to them, in a sense, in spirit. Now, that task, by the way, has almost been completed, which doesn't mean your parents are going to die very quickly. It means that your work with them is really, really finished. Even though I'm sure you'll be there for them when they need you in the years to come. But you've had to be with them in the past few years to balance that karmic obligation. Next incarnation, by the way, you're almost certainly going to be in a male body, and it looks as though you'll have a number of children in that life. And that comes about because some of the souls that you've cared for in this incarnation will want to come back and be close to you in the incarnation to come and the incarnation after that. So because you've balanced this difficult karma with children, and you've given freely, you've sacrificed your that aspect of your life in this incarnation, that the sadness that you feel perhaps at the present will be gradually transformed into joy in the years to come. The light yellow-brown, which you have as the second colour in the aura, is being given to you in this incarnation to work with because you've had incarnations where you were, to use Rev. Mario's phrase, a bit too spiritual for your own earthly good. So you've had incarnations as a nun on a couple of occasions, incarnation in Spain in the 14th century, where you were a nun in Seville. Very religious life, very devout life in that incarnation. You became Mother Superior and you dealt a lot with the nobility, and you were very good at getting donations out of particularly noble women, and they would come to you for conversation because you were very good at giving advice. You actually had, even though you were a very spiritual person in that incarnation, you had that detachment and insight that often comes with spiritual people, so you could act as a counsellor to them in terms of their marriages, in terms of how to cope with their husband's affairs, the sorrows of them losing their children. You were very good, and in return, your convent was rewarded with handsome donations from powerful people. Indicates, by the way, that you should be able to give advice, really practical advice, not just spiritual advice, but your counselling ability and your ability to guide people through difficult periods of their life should be very strong. And it's interesting because you also have the strong intuition that comes with the rose, which is your shoulder colour. The blues and the purples, of course, are in the third colour in the aura. They also have a strong connection with your spirituality and your connection with spirit. Incarnation in Tibet, we had two actually, one in the 7th century and one in the 15th century, both times in male bodies. Here you, in the 7th century, you were part of a religion called Bohm, I think that's how it's pronounced. And you developed certain meditational skills where you could leave the body and you could go to different people and you could help souls as the souls migrated from one incarnation to another. In the 15th century, you were a Buddhist monk. Again, an incarnation, a recognized incarnation. So you were sort of like a priest. And again, you worked in the villages and you assisted the villagers with the religious rites. You gave advice, you counseled. And again, you assisted souls in the dying process. Now, it's interesting that you have this connection with souls who are moving from one life to another. And I wonder whether you've been able to do that in this incarnation. And as you've said, your incarnation, this time, there's been so much of the sacrament of grace involved, so much of the sacrament of forgiveness. Incarnation in the 1st century. Here we see late in the 1st century in a female body, and you are head of a church. And by head of a church, I mean a group of people who would meet together in your house. And you acted there as priest. You would celebrate the sacraments with people. This was before the Catholic Church decided that women weren't worthy to celebrate the sacraments. So you would do that with people. I think that you are in the city of Alexandria, and you are connected there with a person called Clement, who was a disciple of St. Paul. And so that there's a connection with St. Paul and the priesthood through Clement. Indicates, of course, that from life to life, you will come to express the priesthood in some manner or another, and perhaps not always overtly, but very likely through insight into the problems of other people, through counselling, through advice. But then there's another thread as well, and there are a number of different roles that a priest expresses themselves. For example, there is what we call the vocational priesthood, which is what you've been expressing, which is where we express the priesthood through the power of a real vocation. of a soul expression through our work in the world. But there are other expressions of the priesthood. And one of those expressions which came into being very strongly in the 12th century, 11th century, is the priest as artist. So at that time it became possible for the priesthood to be expressed through vocation as artist. And in the 15th century, I presume it's a different time from when you were the Tibetan monk, but in the early 15th century, perhaps the last part of the 14th century, yes, that's right, we see you in a male body as an artist, and you worked a lot in churches. You created stained glass windows. So practical, but also visionary. And there are still churches with your windows in places in Italy. The word Montefiore comes in front of me. I don't know where that is or what that is. Napoli is another place. So that there are still churches around that still have your art within them. You had a name like Bernard, Master Bernard, or some name like that. And you also painted murals on the walls of the church. Now, in this incarnation, you are coming to a point where you may transition happily. In fact, you've been making this transition from priest as vocation, through vocation, to priest through art. And artists, as Marcel Marceau said, are planetary healers. So that you've had a passion or you've had a connection with humanity. There's a strong humanitarian aspect to you, a compassionate part that wants to serve humanity. And you've probably done this in your life various times. If you're a doctor, you'd be off with Médecins Sans Frontières. But since you're not a doctor, I guess that you would find other ways to express that. Now, there is this opportunity to transition. And in the next 2 years, 2 to 3 years, you will experience a change within the goals that you set yourself in life. Wonderful time to take on new ideas, new vistas, new insights, to connect with many other people. Wonderful time indeed to express the changes happening within your life. And there are energies that are working within the life that facilitate change, facilitate healing of the physical body, facilitate transformation and new innovations within your work. If ever there was a time to make a change, it's coming up now. Now, this is also, by the way, a wonderful time to work with what we call the wise art teachings. And you'll notice that the wise art contains two words. It contains wise, which is about wisdom, but it contains the word art. And there are so many people who have taken up the wise art and been able to carry it through, who have experienced transformational change in their artistic expression. It's not called wise art for nothing. So that around you there are people, there are tools in place that you can now take advantage of. And the best time to take advantage of some of these tools and the opportunities that are expressing themselves is the next 2 years. By the time you get to the age of 59, you should be poised to make a transition. And then there's another 2 to 3 year period where the old identity, the way that you see yourself, that's going to dissolve. The old life frameworks are going to fade away, and you're going to find that the way you think about yourself has to change, has to transition, has to move on. And then after that next 3-year period, you enter into another phase of your life where you are now building the new identity. And you will find that your 60s are some of the most productive and healing years of your life. The means to assist the physical body should be presenting themselves now, and gradually there should be healing and development of certain skills, methodologies, and you would find, especially if you start taking up the art, that you start expressing yourself on the etheric levels, that's the energy body, start releasing the etheric, because you've been working in an environment that's very astral and suppresses the etheric. The etheric is what will heal you. As you start becoming more and more focused on the art, so the inspiration, the insight, and the energy of the etheric is released. And it's through this that the healing will come. I don't think it's a magic pill or a magic potion. I think that it's allowing the etheric to work. And there are techniques. The world is full of techniques to assist the etheric. Yoga, Tai Chi. These are techniques that work on the etheric body. So that when these are presented, take advantage of them. The yellows inside the head indicate very real intelligence, and an intelligence that has perhaps been more focused in the past and a practical level. Organization, sorting things out, helping others sort things out, doing lots of routines, being probably worried about routines and particularly about health. But the orange as it comes in will be a revelation. The orange represents the intensity, the individuality of Christ. And as that enters consciousness in the next 5 to 10 years, your thinking will transition. In fact, your thinking will transform. You'll find different ways of looking at the world that are so helpful. And you will find that it's as though you have been held back in life. You're like a horse that strains at the reins and wants to gallop, and you've been held to a canter, perhaps a trot. And now gradually the reins are being released and you're being allowed to move and to explore and to be adventurous within your life. Your life has revolved around other people. But now your life should become an expression of your own individuality, an expression of your Christ self. And I think that this will happen because you're expressing that soul colour of the artist and the intuitive. Trust your intuition. If your intuition is saying, I want to express my creativity, yes, by all means, express that creativity. Interesting that you had an incarnation in the last century, at the end of the last century, I think. Sorry, no, not 21st century, nor the 20th century, but the end of the 19th century, the 1900s. you had an incarnation in a male body there in France, where you were an artist, painted sort of, you were in the Impressionist school, but you were not able to make a living in that incarnation, so you became a teacher instead. And in this incarnation, there will be a doubt within you that you won't be able to finance yourself through your art. But you will always, if you've got light red as your first colour and light brown as the second, you'll always have enough money for your needs. And you don't have to suddenly give up work and say, I'm going to be a starving artist in a garret. No, you will find that you can transition. And the word here is transition. And allow people to recognise the talent that you have. And network with people. Join arts associations, artists associations. Go to galleries, display your work. Not just in Copton, network. Use the internet, Facebook, Instagram. All the things that are available now for networking and for putting yourself out there. And see this as an ongoing project in the years to come. Pursue your passion. Pursue your love. The browns around the hands, great for technical things, for being able to handle operations that need delicacy and expert attention. If you were a musician, it would give you dexterity. I'm not sure what it gives you if you're an artist, but probably something similar. Attention to detail. The browns around the feet mean that you will walk forward in a practical sense, that you will, you've got a very good practical sense of direction. So practical, in fact, sometimes that you've put your passion and your ideals in second place, but that's going to change. Your ideals are going to come to the fore in the next couple of years. The cosmic colours above the head, light blues, beautiful colour, indicates the spiritual worlds are going to bestow insight, connection and comfort to you. It's hard. Closeness, I think, would be a good word. You're going to be aware of a greater connection with the Spirit and with the power of Christ within your life. Below the feet, light greens. Yes, change. Move along. Don't stay doing the same thing. Just bear in mind, the word is transition. You're making a transition in your life, but the cosmos is there to help. The verse, the title is To the End, and the verse means, I shall run my course. That you will, you've incarnated in this life to fulfill commitments that will require you to be faithful to those commitments. Now, there's an incredible emphasis on faith. Through deepest forests, through the dark of night, so that you've held this faith through your life. You've been through the deepest forest. That's where you can't see your way. Through the darkest night. That's when you feel alone, isolated, depressed, helpless. You've been through that. And I shall be faithful to the end means exactly that. You will carry this quality of faithfulness to the day that you die. You'll never stop being faithful to what you have offered to people. and to yourself. And you will win with your own power and your own might, because that means that you will become identified with the power of Christ. And when the power of Christ becomes our power, then there is nothing that can stand in our way. So that's the last line of the verse, remains to be fulfilled in this incarnation, which it will be in the years to come. You will discover your own power and your own might because of your overshadowing, if I can put it that word, or your penetration by the power of the Christ within you. There are three symbols in the aura, which I will mention very quickly. On the left, beside the feet, is the symbol of the Lamb. Indicates your connection with the Christ. You have the Christ within your aura. In front of you, a person riding on horseback, galloping like mad with a spear in front of them. Causes. Your life has been about causes. That's good. But now that you've fulfilled your commitment to causes, now that energy, that passion, is going to be directed onto another level, onto another plane, if you like, another expression. The symbol on the right is a young woman holding up a mirror towards you. Now, the symbol on the right is something that you know you have within your aura. Well, it's an energy that you know you have within your being. And the symbol of the person, the young woman who represents the soul, holding up the mirror, it means that the soul is reflecting back into your consciousness what the soul needs for its next step in this incarnation. And so that what you are perceiving through your intuition is the conversation that you are having with the soul. The symbol of the over-self is the wizard's hat. And in a sense, this is... how can I put it? It's a fake hat. Wizards don't really wear hats. But what it really represents is that you have within your soul incredible wisdom, and that you need to embrace the wisdom that you have. You need to accept that you are wise, and that you have knowledge, and that you can not only help other people with their direction in life, but you can help yourself with your direction in life. And your intuition is so strong that you know that this your life direction is changing. And in years to come, I think that what will happen is that the soul colour, which is the light rose, will become stronger within your life, that you will express yourself more and more through your art, indeed that you will reach more people, that you will assist the transformation of consciousness, because as Plato said, the good and the beauty are one and the same. And so when you give beauty to the world, you give good to the world. And when you give good to the world, you give God to the world. And you are empowered to do this because of the power of God, which is within you, the power of Christ. And to express the power of Christ through giving God, through giving good, through giving beauty to the world, would be a most wonderful task in the next cycle of this incarnation. So shall it be.